Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Dewey, Mission of South South Apostolic Presbyterian Congregation out of South John in the Texas. Today is May 1, 2017, and this is 5, 2021. We're going to start our first service today with a song entitled No, Not One. There's not a friend like the lowly Yahshua. No, not one. No, not one. May us to heal our soul diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Yahshua knows all about our struggle. He will die till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Yahshua. No, not one. No, not one. No friend like him is so high and so holy. No, not one. No, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and lowly. No, not one. No, not one. There's not an hour that he is not near us. No, not one. No, not one. No, not so dark but his love can cheer us. No, not one. No, not one. Did every saint find his friend forsake him? No, not one. No, not one. Or sinner find that he would not take him? No, not one. No, not one. Was there a gift like the Savior given? No, not one. No, not one. Will he refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one. No, not one. Yahshua knows all about our struggle. He won't die till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Yahshua. No, not one. No, not one. Part 12, Gentiles. Let's just go right on into Romans chapter 6 and make a continuity, because the whole New Testament is dealing as much or more with the Gentiles as the Jews. As I refer to the Hebrew Israelites, Jews is just a derogatory term for the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, which were claiming to be interpreters of the law of the Pharisees. And the scribes were the ones that wrote those 613 new laws that they added to the law of Moses. So, let's just call them Gentiles and Hebrew Israelites. Because the Gentiles are kinfolks to the Hebrew Israelites. But they're not kinfolks to those Pharisees and Sadducees that lost out along the way. But the Hebrew Israelite is still in the race. And we know that because there's going to be 144,000 of them coming forward. Okay. What shall we say then? Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Yahweh forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Yahshua Messiah were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by the baptism into death, that like as Yahshua was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Yahshua, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Yahshua, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto Yahweh. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto Yahweh, through the Yahshua Messiah our Savior. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Now do yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto Yahweh as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto Yahweh. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because... let's do that again. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Yahweh forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, unto whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But Yahweh be thanked that you were the servants of sin, that ye have obeyed from the heart that form of the doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants unto uncleanness and unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants unto righteousness, unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from the righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants unto Yahweh, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wage of sin is death, but the gift of Yahweh is eternal life through the Yahshua Messiah our Savior. For the Yahweh's law and the law of sin. Okay, I just finished chapter 6, now we're going to go into chapter 7, dealing with Yahweh's law and the law of sin. So there's two laws. There's the Yahweh's law, and then there's the law of sin. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak unto them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law of her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress. Though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead unto the law by the body of Yahshua, that you should be married to another, even unto him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto Yahweh. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Yahweh forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. The sin taken occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained unto life I found to be unto death. For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was in that which is good made death unto me, Yahweh forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but a sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of Yahweh after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into the captivity unto the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank Yahweh through Yahshua Messiah our Savior. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of Yahweh, but with the flesh the law of sin. For the spirit of life in the Yahshua, Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation unto them which are in the Yahshua Messiah, who walk not after flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in the Yahshua Messiah hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Okay, we're in Romans chapter 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, Yahweh sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin and the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against Yahweh, for it is not subject unto the law of Yahweh, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please Yahweh. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of Yahweh dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Yahshua, he is none of his. If Yahshua be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Yahshua from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Yahshua from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after flesh, for if you live after flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of Yahweh, they are the sons of Yahweh. Now do you get that? Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of the Yahweh, they are the sons of Yahweh. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of the adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of Yahweh. And if children, then heirs, heirs of Yahweh, and joint heirs with Yahshua, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of Yahweh. For the creature was made subject unto vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of Yahweh. Now, what's it talking about here, the creature? It's talking about the animals. Okay. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Okay. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. What's the first fruits of the Spirit? That's the 144,000 for the Seventh-day Adventists today would be the 144,000. But where are the Adventists going to be after they produce the first fruits of the Spirit? They're going to be cut away, left behind. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to witness the redemption of our body. For we are saved by the hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man saith, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for, as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with the groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of Yahweh. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love Yahweh, unto them who are the called according unto his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed unto the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say unto these things? If Yahweh be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything unto the charge of Yahweh's elect? It is Yahweh that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Yahshua that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of the Yahweh, who also maketh intercession for us. Now, Paul's talking to these Roman Gentiles. He says, Yahshua is at the right hand of his Father, and he also maketh intercession for us. In the first apartment. And that's on the Day of Atonement. Whenever he go in before the Father for the blotting out of sins once a year. If you have a good record, a perfect record, following the ordained system of true worship of the blood of the sprinkling, Hebrews 12:22-24, then you're in good shape. Who shall separate us from the love of Yahshua? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Yahweh, which is in the Yahshua Messiah our Savior. Okay, that's in the end of chapter 8 of Romans. Let's just go right on to chapter 9. I say the truth in Yeshua, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself was accursed from Yeshua, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Who are Israelites, unto whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of the Yahweh and the promises? Who are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Yahshua came? Who is over all? Yahweh blessed forever. Amen. Or hallelujah. I forget that Amen is the name of a pagan god. And every now and then, if I get to going too fast, I run it in there without thinking. That is, I always use hallelujah in the place of Amen. Not as though the word of Yahweh hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of the Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of Yahweh, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of the promise. At this time will I come and Sarah shall have a son. Not only this, but when Rebekah also has conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of the Yahweh according unto the election might stand, not of the works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with Yahweh? Yahweh forbid. For he saith unto Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of Yahweh that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against Yahweh? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What is Yahweh willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with the much long suffering, the vessels of wrath fitted unto destruction? And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory. Even us, for whom he hath called not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. And he saith also in Osee, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not my beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there shall ye be, there shall they be called the children of the living Yahweh. Isaiah also cries concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because the short work will the Yahweh make upon the earth. Okay. Now let's back up, read that verse 24 again. Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only. Now he's talking to the Gentiles here. He's telling them, he said, for even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. So he didn't only just call the Jews, he also called the Gentiles. to be leaders. Says so there in Isaiah 66, when the harvest starts. The Jews first, Hebrew Israelites first of the 144,000, the escaped ones of the first judgment, they go unto the nation to get their Gentile brethren, and then they appoint leaders over their Gentile brothers to be leaders over them. So, there you have it right there. Isaiah 66, 16-20, confirms exactly what Paul said right here in Romans 9:24. Even us, whom he hath called not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, verse 28. Because the short work will the Yahweh make upon the earth. So once this harvest starts, judgment is in full swing. And he's going to make a short work on the earth. And he's doing it right now with Donald Trump as the president. I mean, he brought him forth like a bolt of lightning out of the blue. And I mean, he brought him forth and nothing could stop him. And they still can't stop him. Oh, they're fighting hard as they can against him, but they can't stop him. And as I said, it says before, except the Yahweh of the Sabbath. Let's do it again. And as Isaiah says before, except the Yeshua of the Sabbath had left us a seed, we had been as Sodoma, and been made like unto Gomorrah. Now, what did I read to you yesterday? No, I didn't read it to you. I haven't gotten to it yet. They're in 2 Peter chapter 2, but I read it for my own personal reading yesterday morning. 2 Peter chapter 2, and he has an awesome thing to tell there about Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'm going to read that to you, 2 Peter chapter 2. Let's start with the first verse. I'm going to read you the first several, about the 7 or 8 verses. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Yeshua that bought them by his blood, I might add, and bring them unto upon them a swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of. And though covetousness shall, and through the covetousness shall they with the feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For as Yahweh spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down into hell, and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be preserved unto the judgment. Now who are these angels that sin? Those that Lucifer enticed and drew them away from heaven. Okay. And you might read that in Revelation chapter, I believe chapter 9. Let's go read it right quick. These angels that fell. Let's see, Revelation chapter 9, it says, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and unto him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Well, who is this star? This star is Yeshua. Okay. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth. That's your people. That's your laity. Trees represents the ministers. Neither any green thing, neither any tree, neither any ordained minister that has the Holy Spirit, but only those men which have not the seal of Yahweh in their foreheads. Now, what do we read about the seal of Yahweh? Well, you go back to Revelation 3:12, and you can read about the three seals there of Yahweh. It's got to be in your forehead. The Father's name, New Jerusalem, and a glorious star containing Yahshua's new name. Okay, there's your three seals that has to be in the forehead of Yahweh. I haven't seen that before until now. And it says in Revelation 9:4, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of the Yahweh in their foreheads. Okay. So you better be learning then how to receive these three seals. And unto them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he struck at a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses, prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of the many horses running unto battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. That's the name of Yahshua for the scriptures. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before the Yahweh, saying unto the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the river Euphrates. For the four angels were loosed, and the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses. These are your leaders. These are men. These are spiritual leaders that has the Pentecostal power in the vision. And them that sat on them, and those that sat on them, were the angels from heaven. They were the ones that are assisting these Pentecostal filled ministers with the Pentecostal power. So it makes it 400 million. Makes it 400 million army strong, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and of brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. Now these three was the third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouth, for their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Now, I know I told you that I was going to continue from where I left off there in Romans chapter 9, verse 29. And I said, and as Isaiah said before, except the Yahshua of the Sabbath had left us a seed we had been as Sodom and been like unto Gomorrah. So what was that seed? That was a seed of Abraham through Isaac, through Jacob, through David, through Yahshua. Because it says in Galatians 3:29, if you be Yahshua, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So we want to be sure that we can identify with being Abraham's seed. And in order to do that, we're going to have wisdom and understanding and a lot of knowledge and perseverance. So anyway, when I read to you there, and that said they'd be like unto Gomorrah, and then I read to you in 2 Peter there, says verse 4, for if Yahweh spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the unrighteous. This is 2 Peter chapter 2, verse, now we're going to verse 6. And turn the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should live unrighteously, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now I understand why Yahweh separated my wife and I and Alan DeLong from that body down there in Tremont, because we witnessed their unlawful deeds day by day, week by week, for 33 years. For 33 years. Okay. Because it says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, for the Yahweh knoweth how to deliver the righteous out of temptations, and to preserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. Now, I was going to tell you about these angels, and I told you that fell from heaven. I said it was Revelation 9. I read the whole chapter to you, but actually it's in Revelation 12, my main point I wanted to get at. And I'm going to read that, verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Those 12 stars represents the 12 apostles, and the 12 apostles represents 144,000. Okay, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and it cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was called up unto Yahweh and unto his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of Yahweh, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael, this is Yahshua, and his angels. Okay, so the angels are subjected unto Yahshua. This says these angels are his angels. Well, how is it that Michael, Yahshua, can lay claim to the angels in heaven being his angels? Well, that's his army. And so no doubt that Yahshua, since he is a co-creator with his Father, after Yahshua was created, Yahweh made him a co-creator with him. Says so in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Said that there was not anything made that was made without Yahshua. And it says right there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, that Yahshua says, come and let us, talking to his Son, make man in our image after our likeness. Both of us. So the Father and Son looks exactly alike, because it says over in the Gospel that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, Yahshua told him. Okay? So, if you want to know what my Father looks like, just look at me. And so it says, and there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, the devil, Satan, Lucifer, and the dragon fought and his angels. So they literally had a literal fight, but they didn't kill each other. Nobody killed each other, but they had a real fight. And I imagine it was a physical struggle, but you know what? I can't see them using swords unless to intimidate, because there was nobody killed in that fight. But it said it was a war. They had war in heaven. And it says in verse 8 of Revelation 12, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil or Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. Alright, so the earth that we know is this earth that we live on. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our Elohim and the power of his Messiah, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our Elohim day and night. Now isn't this amazing how that we can go now to John 12:31 and confirm this right here. Okay, now I'm going to read to you from John chapter 12, starting with verse 23. It says, and Yahshua answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now this corn of wheat, it says corn of wheat. So apparently then corn is not the ear of corn necessarily that we would pick off of a stalk of corn today. But this says a corn of wheat. So in other words, a kernel of wheat. Yahshua represents this kernel of wheat that had to die in the earth. He was signifying his death here through this here, John 12:24. And it says in verse 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. Okay, now this right here is very key. It says in verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. Well, who is his servant today? Elijah David. So where is Yahshua at today? He's right here in the Spirit, right here in this room. By faith, I believe this. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So Yahshua's servant then is going to teach them the truth on a daily basis, how to honor the Father and the Son. Verse 27, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from the heaven, saying, I have both glorified it, and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, and the angel spake unto him. Yahshua answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, shall draw all men unto me. Then he said, signifying what death he should die. Okay. In other words, it says in verse 24, except a corn of wheat shall fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. In other words, if the house that holds that life in that kernel of corn dies, and then it sprouts forth new life, and what does that produce? It produced many more kernels of corn, of wheat. Okay. Verse 34, John 12. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Yahshua abideth forever. And how sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Okay. Then Yahshua said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in the darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of the light." Now we have a new light on music today. We're going to share that with all of y'all. There's a whole new world of music out there waiting for us to discover that has the heavens endorsement with the frequencies of heaven transferred into the music here on earth. David is the one that introduced it in his day unto the house of Israel. Alright, so now, having read that, let's go back to Revelation chapter 12. And let's read verse 10 again. "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of Yahweh, and the power of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our Elohim day and night." All right, let's go ahead to verse 11. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb." This is the only way you can overcome Satan, is by the blood of the Lamb. And if you don't establish the ordained system of true worship, you cannot overcome and become restored in mind, body, and spirit, and overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil, unless you are born again of the water and the blood and the spirit. And that's in John chapter 3. Okay, it says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." Well, that was 2,000 years ago. So 2,000 years ago is a short time for Lucifer, because when he was created in heaven, he had no end of life. Just like everything else that was created. And all the angels, they had no end of life. But when they chose to rebel and to go contrary, and to fight, rise up and fight against Yahweh and his creation, then he inherited eternal death. It had to be paid out over a period of a few thousand years. Okay, it says in Revelation 12, verse 13, "And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child." And so it says, "And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth." Now, verse 9, it says that he was cast into the earth. He was cast out into the earth, meaning that he was cast out into the hollow of the earth. He had to go inside the earth to set up his headquarters. There's an inner planet. Whether you realize it or not, you can click on your browser, and you can take and just print and just click up on Hollow Earth and read all about it. Okay. So there you have it. Into the earth, onto the earth. So it says, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. So now, this whole Revelation chapter 12 deals with the casting the dragon out of the everlasting kingdom of heaven here on earth, the everlasting kingdom of David. So once that happens, and when that will happen when the 144,000 comes forth and start gathering the righteous multitudes and going over all the earth, and when the harvest starts and you gather in all the righteous, all the wicked has to immediately be destroyed as the harvest is taking place on a day-by-day basis. The wicked is being destroyed even today as we speak by the thousands. So the judgment of the living is in progress, has been since 2002. And there's been multi-millions of people that have died since 2002 by every kind of imaginable thing that could happen to them. From diseases to accidents to wars and you name it. In Revelation 12:13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And unto the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness and into her place where she is nursed for a time and times and a half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. What's the remnant of her seed? That's the remnant of the Gentiles. That's your Gentiles. It's a remnant of the seed of the woman, because the woman is represented by the 144,000. By virtue of those 12 stars on her crown, which represents the 12 apostles, that represents the 144,000. So those belong to her exclusively. But the remnant of her seed, which are the Gentile nations, that keep those that keep the commandments of Yahweh, that's the Ten Commandments, and have the testimony of the Yeshua Messiah. Now just a minute, I'm going to back up one more time. Which keep the commandments of the Yahweh, that's all of the Ten Commandments and the laws of Moses. Okay? Those were initially given by the Father. When his Son was created, and then his Son was given all of the commandments. Okay? So I'm going to close this sermon, and I know my family will close it. I'm going to go to John 15:10 and read to you and confirm what I just told you about the dual role in the commandments. John 15:10, it says, Yahshua says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So Yahshua had to keep all of the law, Ten Commandments and all of the law of Moses, which belonged to the Father exclusively in the beginning. But when Yahshua was created, then they belonged both to the Father and the Son, because it played a dual role in the plan of the salvation for mankind. You have to have the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, otherwise you have no salvation or anything. And so, when it says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide my love, well, what are those commandments? They're all listed in Leviticus 23. There's 44 verses. Takes in all the ten, starts with the seventh day Sabbath, the Ten Commandments. It deals with the Ten Commandments and all the laws of Moses. All the feast days, holy days, new moons, Passover, Pentecost, Atonement, Feast Tabernacles, Feast of the Unleavened Bread. All of those is the whole law of Yahweh, and it's the whole law of the Son. And Yahshua confirmed it there in John 15:10. So now, let's go back now to where we left off there in Romans chapter 9 and bring this sermon to a close. So, in Romans chapter 9, we're on verse 30. What shall we say then, that the Gentiles, which follow not after righteousness, have attained unto righteousness? Even the righteousness which is by the faith and the blood of the Yeshua, and you can go and confirm that in Romans 3:25, whom Yahweh has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of Yahweh. Romans 9:31, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained unto the law of righteousness. Okay, so Israel, that followed after the law of righteousness, that's the law of the sanctuary, of the feast day. They followed not after the law of righteousness, hath not attained unto the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, they thought they could just go through the familiarity of just doing the daily, the 9 o'clock and the 3 o'clock, but just coming aside and going through the formality of it all. That doesn't work. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. They stumbled, so that's a stumbling stone. When you go through the form, a cold dead formalism and don't do it according to the law of the Spirit of life, which is Romans 8:2. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Who is a stumbling stone? Who is a stumbling stone? What is a stumbling stone? This is Yeshua. Yeshua is a stumbling stone. You have to come through Him and through His blood. And if you don't establish the ordained system of true worship, you will never know how to come unto the Father through the Son. This brings in, but says this, our contact says at the 11th hour, call us number 11, click on our audio archives, hear this message and more. We're going to close now with a song entitled, What a Friend We Have in Yeshua. What a friend we have in Yahshua. All sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to Yah in prayer. Everything to your end. Every trials and temptation is their fill anywhere. We can never be discouraged, hey, hear the yawning friend, and we find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows soon. Yahshua knows our every need. Despise for the same thing. Yeah. and yawing crew. In his arms,